The Lord bless you all, precious heart dwellers. This is an interesting time right now, and I want to thank the Lord for giving us an advance warning that the time for final exams has come. You are even grading the papers to see who will qualify for the rapture. I pray this message will not fall upon deaf ears, but that your reluctant bride will rally to your side and pass her finals. Amen. Well, as you all know, we've had some interesting challenges, more than our fair share, and a lot of us have gotten very weary and very tired. The Lord addresses that here. And Ezekiel's been in some serious pain for 2 or 3 days now. And Carol also has had some things going on, and we're connecting with the Lord's heart that the bride is not being attentive. She's not paying attention, and it's a dangerous time for her. So I asked the Lord, please, because I've been, you know, involved working on the portrait of God the Father and working on a song that he wanted me to get out. And I've been involved in that, and I've spent a lot of time with him, but he hasn't really talked to me about this subject. He's been more comforting than anything else, so I felt out of the loop, so to speak. What, did I miss you, Lord? Why are they feeling this and I'm not? Well, I feel guilty for working so hard on music, even though I know that's what he wanted me to do. And so I just want to make sure that I'm not ignoring him. Absolutely sure of that. So I said to the Lord, Jesus, please tell me what's going on. I'm here, beloved. Hold me close. Your Lord's Supper readings should give you insight. The readings have alarmed me, Lord. They've caused me to be very concerned. Are the heart dwellers ignoring you? Jesus answered, many are preoccupied with the world, Claire, much in the same way you are when you devote time to a project. It is hard to get your attention back on me, but you have been faithful, and I'm not faulting you. Lord, Ezekiel says that heart dwellers are tired and distracted and not responsive. Please tell me, is this true? Jesus answered, let's say half and half. Well, why the rebellious reading, Lord, that I received from Ezekiel? Because many go on, church as usual, and the church is crumbling before their very eyes. Many of them are unaware of what is going on right in front of them. The church will not remain church for much longer. Either persecution or scandal will continue to bring it down. Once the rapture happens, there will no longer be church as usual. It'll be gone. Those who were on fire will be taken home, leaving my uncommitted children to cope and ask some very hard questions. Why? Why wasn't I taken? Well, I am here to tell you why. This message to you is of utmost importance. When was the last time you gave time and money to feed the poor families and people on the streets? Jesus continued. When was the last time you spent all night in prayer? When was the last time you spent 2 hours in prayer for several days a week? When is the last time you looked at your conscience and found gossip and slander that you had spread? When was the last time you recognized selfishness in yourself? Are you even looking for these things? When was the last time you defended an innocent victim of slander? When was the last time you had scorn and contempt for someone you considered below you? When was the last time you went out of your way because someone needed attention and you were busy with a project? When was the last time you took a careful look at your soul with Holy Spirit and repented for so many things you should have done but didn't do, and so many things you did that you shouldn't have done? All your questions about why I was left behind will be answered for you in a very brief amount of time if you seriously sit down and take a real look at the state of your soul. Are you doing things to be noticed for acclaim, Or are you doing things for me that I asked of you that might be a little more lackluster and go unnoticed? I guarantee you, the little things add up in heaven. I see what man does not see, and I especially see the little things that caused you inconvenience, but that you shook off your own concern to take care of it because there was a real need. Sacrifice. Are you selfishly headed off to finish a project, Katie bar the door, or do you relent to tend to the injured? Claire knows exactly what I mean, because I've been drilling her in charity and patience. Many times she's at a critical point with a message, with the painting, with a song, with a personal concern of hers, and I inspire Ezekiel to call for help. Yes, my love, I've been doing this deliberately. I watch your attitude before you pick up the phone, after you pick it up, when you deliver the help, and when you come back. And most times, you do very well, knowing that what you just did was to care for me and my needs. Not angry or irritated for the interruptions, but resolute to be sweet and charitable. Those are my tests to see if you are ready for the rapture. I do the same with all of you, dear ones. I am continually testing my bride to see if she will come to my side when I need her comfort, either as I am now or in the distressing disguise of another. I want to see my bride about my business, and if there is a soul in distress, I am right there with them. I want to see all of you responding with charity, hospitality, and cheerfully from the heart. That's what brings me the greatest comfort. Yes, I am happy each one of you are doing what needs to be done, per assignment from me. But I also check to see where your heart and your priorities are. Will you drop a pet project, even from me, to serve a glass of cool water to a thirsty child? Yes, you could say these are finals, term papers, tests to see if you learn the lessons taught in the University of Brotherly Love on planet Earth. That is precisely what I am doing with you. Will you forego your very focused work to help another who is floundering, to be present at a wedding or a funeral? And how deep are your prayers going? Oh, Lord, I'm abysmal at that right now. Well, at least you recognize it and want to change. Oh, dear ones, I'm in the final stages of God the Father portrait, and I can't tell you how tedious it's gotten because I made a mistake I had to erase down to the foundation and start over again, in the eyes nonetheless. And when my computer blew up, it brought with it a long train of, I wouldn't say a long train, I'd say a never-ending train of inconveniences to just be able to send an email, let alone booting up my recording program, which is still shaking its head trying to figure out what I did to that song. Jesus continued, "These are finals, Claire. Everyone is experiencing an extraordinary amount of distraction and trouble because I'm finding out who knows my heart and acts on it and who doesn't know my heart. The ones who know my heart and act on it will be raptured. The others, still buried in frustrations with their projects and carrying a train of guilt over the people and situations they decided to snub or forgo. Well, there is little time left for you, dear ones. Repent and reform. Carry out the desires of my heart before your own. This lesson is linked to pride. Yes, pride says, what I am doing has been commissioned by God, and I'm not leaving off with that to handle your situation that you are responsible for in your own life. In other words, what God wants is more important than your plight and distress. No, I say to you, what I want is not what matters in moments like these. There is a time to ignore distractions, and there is a time to respond with all your heart. Charity and the whispering of my spirit will help you to discern. Oh, Lord, I'm afraid I'm guilty of this. Jesus replied, "You stop to help more often than not because you know what it feels like not to have anyone else to turn to. I'm talking about those among you who have made a habit of ignoring the needs of others to satisfy yourselves. I'm talking about the desperate needy who have sought you out. I brought them to you as a test. I want to see my love for you in action poured out on others. Because you do not set aside hours to be filled by me, your heart is cold and unresponsive. You cannot give what you do not have, so you pass them by or pass them on to others. My children, the standards of heaven are much different than yours. You must learn to love until it hurts." At this point, I had to take a break to reboot, and I was falling asleep at the keyboard. I also made a visit to the restroom where I felt quickened to open Love Letters to My Bride 1, and I opened to a quote, 1 Corinthians 13, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am only a ringing gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have absolute faith so as to move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and exult in the surrender of my body, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It's not rude or self-seeking. It's not easily angered, and it keeps no account of wrongs. Love takes no pleasure in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things." And then the scripture goes on to mention the coveted spiritual gifts, the things that we think will make us outstanding Christians. "But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be restrained. Where there is knowledge, it will be dismissed. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial passes away. Now we see but a dim reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." Jesus continued, "If you are preparing for the rapture by sparring with other Christians over doctrinal interpretations, seeking positions of leadership and teaching, facilitating conferences and speaking at them, while harshly judging the little ones that aren't so capable, you will be sorely disappointed on that day. Those who were nothing in the sight of the world will ascend, and you will be left behind to learn love, compassion, mercy, and honoring the lowliest soul, because they were purchased with my blood, and I dwell in them." And this is me speaking now. "Dear ones, if I, as a speaker, filled a conference room but retained scorn and contempt for the lame and poor, even passing them by in their need on the way to preach, what kind of reward awaits me on that day? Didn't the Lord say that tax collectors and sinners would precede self-righteous Pharisees into heaven? On the other hand, a poor one on the way to the conference saw the distress of a man on the street, and stopped to buy him a burger and drink, knowing he wouldn't get a good seat at the conference for stopping, but caring more for the poor soul. What will his reward be? We really have it upside down, and the Lord is beginning to turn church buildings upside down and empty them, because he wants a pure and intimate relationship with each of us, not just for us to listen to a finely tuned sermon and think we've satisfied the law of the Sabbath. These are the readings Ezekiel and I have been getting for weeks, and just yesterday again. At the beginning of Ezekiel, he said to me, 'Son of man, stand up on your feet, and I will speak to you.' As he spoke, the Spirit came into me and raised me to my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. He said, Son of man, I am sending you to the Israelites, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have been in revolt against me to this very day. The people to whom I am sending you are obstinate and stubborn. And what really caught my attention was the psalm that came after that. It was coupled with this reading, Psalm 123. Unto you do I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in heaven. Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master, and as the eyes of a maiden to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God, until he has mercy and loving kindness for us. Have mercy on us, O Lord, have mercy and loving kindness for us, for we are exceedingly satiated with contempt. Our life is exceedingly filled with the scorn and scoffing of those who are at ease, and with the contempt of the proud. And that's interesting. This scripture speaks to my heart. The poor and faithful are focused on the Lord's face, on his needs, on what he is doing, while the rich are full of scorn and contempt. And I have to ask, how many of us are still truly waiting for that day? How many are so busy with the world that they exclaim, I have a house to buy, a marriage to attend, and a new car to pick up? I don't have time for this prophetic nonsense. Nothing ever comes of it anyway. How many of us respond to their attitude with a silent prayer? Or do we think in our hearts, well, he's right, nothing's happened yet? And the final Lord's Supper reading was the washing of the disciples' feet as an example that we too should be stooping to serve others. In short, all the readings were consistent with what the Lord spoke to me. And at that point, I turned to the Lord and I asked him if he had something to add. And he said, Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master, and as the eyes of a maiden to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God. Truly, this is what I want from you all. I want your eyes on me and what I am doing from moment to moment. Right now, there is not enough prayer going out to prevent catastrophes. I need more prayer from you, my dear ones. I need deeper and more focused prayer. And of course, every sacrifice you can offer me carries a load of graces to be showered from heaven, not only for your needs, but for the needs of others. Times are winding down. We are still in the danger zone, and many of you are exhausted from fasting and praying. But I say to you, nothing you sacrificed for me has been in vain. When you become exhausted, do not continue to push it. Rather, rest and recuperate. Then I will raise you up again, especially through communion, that you may resume all your efforts. But do not make the mistake of thinking you're immortal and invincible. You too need to rest. During that time of rest, seek me. Seek Rhema's from the scriptures or the website and keep your attention focused on me. Do not fall prey to wasting time with entertainments, although a few innocent breaks will help you regain your perspective. And most of all, pray with all your heart that the impending events will be circumvented and people's hearts will turn to me. This is my complaint. Even my brides have become insensitive to my tears and distress. They have taken their eyes off the hand of their master at a time when he has great need of them. Please, beloved ones, I need your attention, your prayers, and your love. Whether you show your love to the little ones who have needs or through declining to indulge your appetites, whatever you do for me, I take as a wedding present, a sign of love for your groom, and I am deeply appreciative. So I ask you, dear ones, humble yourselves, examine your habits and attitudes, repent of any wrongdoing in the sight of the angels. Go out of your way for others, and most of all, soften your hearts as you keep your gaze steadily on my hand so that you can fulfill my needs. Then you will be taken in the rapture because you have made your minute-to-minute priority to be one and the same with mine. This makes you my dearly beloved ones, and I prepare the place for you at my wedding feast. Do these things, and you will hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Enter into your master's joy.